Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations. The following actual play episode contains some Session Zero topics which were discussed and agreed to by all players before recording. They include references to suicide and self-harm. If you have lines or veils for these topics, please listen and enjoy safely. Alright, we are back. The shuttlecraft from the surface of Zunian 3 has arrived. It has dropped off the five members of the DC crew. Is there any reason why you would try to keep the shuttlecraft there?
Not that I can think of, no.
All right.
I will pause long enough to make sure that the Marka is not giving me that plaintive sort of don't make me go back kind of thing. But if, unless I get any sort of vibe from him on that, then I won't even say anything. So.
Nope. You do not get that vibe from him. You get a firm handshake and what seems to be a sincere expression that he hopes to hear from you again, and that maybe a friendship between the two of you could be the beginning of a friendship between our peoples, etc.
Let's keep in touch then.
He like gives you his email address and his cell phone number, and yeah. Okay, cool. The shuttlecraft departs, and senior staff is called to the conference room.
Yes, I will assume that on the way to the conference room, the two of us exchanged information. You tell me that the security agent, I would have read the pad by now, but I will also share with you what I saw. I asked you if you had picked up on that there was Federation tech in the ruins, reminiscent of what was missing from Tethys.
Assuming that was directed at Najjar,
No, that was directed at Najjar. Yeah, I wanted to make sure that...
As you guys are walking into the conference room, basically.
Yeah, I want to make sure
that you're talking to the captain.
No. I was sharing that with you, making sure you're not getting blindsided by information that we're both on the same page.
Thank you, sir.
Please have a seat, everyone. Mr. Ocean, what do we know that we didn't know before you went down to the planet?
Najjar was able to determine several of the individuals at the reception. Not all of them, but many of them had dormant. I think you're confident in that?
As did the shuttle pilot, sir.
And the shuttle pilot seems to be an ally of sort. He brought us sightseeing, and it was very directed in the sense that the ruins that we flew over, very reminiscent of the ones that you recovered in the recordings from Tethys. But additionally, there was Federation technology there.
What?
Oh, there was definitely some Federation tech there. The type of equipment that would have been on Tethys before they cleared out. I'd like to, with your permission, look into the history that we have with Xenia. Both around the time, I want to requisition the logs of the time period when communication seemed to break down between the Federation and Xenia, to see if we can maybe ascertain whether or not there was something else going on. Likewise, whether or not there has been any traffic between Xenia and the Federation in the meantime.
So. Mr. Ocean, you are saying that the equipment from the colony on Tethys that was brutally killed, and the colonists wiped out and taken to parts unknown, that all this stuff is here. Or appears to be. Could be.
Maybe not all of it. I want to go ahead and clarify. That's not like an entire colony of stuff that's there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be very clear about that. Right.
No, it's...
Or it was a colony expedition. Maybe. Sorry, I used the word expedition, not colony.
If we're assuming that there are no coincidences, it's highly unlikely that the equipment that would have been on a colony such as Tethys is just happens to be in the...
Similar ruins as to what was on Tethys, scanning for stuff as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Lieutenant Neela, when we're done here, I need you and your science team to redirect the sensors onto those ruins and get me more information about what Federation equipment is here.
Yes, sir.
And Lieutenant Azhar, you said about half of the delegation had the dormant creatures in them?
3 out of 7, sir. But the highest ranking individual was their chief of planetary security. And he names the ones that were.
Yeah.
But most importantly, not the governor.
That's good. So Mr. Relic, in our time further discussing, has inquired about the process of requesting asylum. As he says, if it was to become known that he has a beast within a beast inside him, he would be an outcast and his family would be persecuted. So I have him in quarters right now working with my yeoman to get statements and begin the paperwork, the process.
That seems unusual, sir. They insisted that what our scanners have detected is just a environmentally stimulated anomaly and not a parasitic infection, and that it's all fine and it's all normal.
Yes, that would track with their religiosity and cultural taboo, which seems to have occurred in their distant past. It has been mythologized as being taken over by the beast, the blue eyes of the infection, and my guess is whatever the radiation is in this world is what has caused the parasites to be dormant. So one of the concerns I have right now is if I do grant Mr. Relic's asylum request, what happens when we remove him from this densely irradiated environment? Will it wake up? Will it try and call home? Will it try and kill everyone?
If I did not wake up, go ahead.
These questions are maybe exact reason why we should grant asylum, so we can see what would happen.
And it did not wake up in the short time we left the nebula earlier.
True, but it's been a lifetime of this inoculated radiation dosing would take it a while to wear off and wake up. It's a complete unknown. I kind of glance over to Dr. New. A complete unknown, right? Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, Lieutenant, I appreciate your boundless scientific curiosity, but another concern...
Dr. New will raise his hand. Yes, perhaps there are some ethical concerns with keeping him on board, specifically with the purpose of studying him. Perhaps.
I am also concerned about what some of our superiors would be willing to do to this individual with a living Epsilon parasite in him. Because the good doctor was very much bound by medical ethics to not remove the creature from Mr. Relic without his consent. And before the Dominion War, I would have said that most everyone else would follow that same level of moral scruples, but the threat presented by Epsilon can allow some people to attribute the Vulcan phrase, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one.
Is it worth getting a sample of the radiation?
Also, sir, in terms of Relic, why not simply level with him? He's already aware that we think something's inside him. It goes against his entire mythos, and he's already freaking out about it. He's requesting asylum. If we give him a little bit more information, maybe not all, I'm betting that he would be more than willing to agree to any tests that we would be able to run that might be able to help him or his people remove this parasite.
Another option?
I know our automatic impulse and everything with species Epsilon is silence and containment, but if we're already agreeing that he's not going to get back off of the ship, containment's not a problem.
We're still not him getting off the ship. After reading the good doctor's briefing, we could go with the, what were they calling it, doctor? Regional biological difference?
Regional physiological differences, exactly, yeah. So
we'll present that to Relic, that I am willing to apologize to the governor for the grave misunderstanding and our false positive and our lack of specific knowledge of the Zunian biology, that there is absolutely no infection or parasitic whatnot, and that we appreciated his tolerance in our overreaction and our cautions.
Yeah. She does seem to be willing to have these conversations, but I'd like to present another option regarding our guest. We could see about extracting it while it's still dormant. The challenge with extracting it while the parasite is conscious is that it would kill itself and the host, or it would kill the host. But if it's dormant, it should be possible, and I look at Dr. New, to extract it.
This is what brought us to this in the first place, because the doctor, there's a not insignificant chance that it could, and Mr. Relic refused the doctor's attempt or willingness to remove the creature. That's why the doctor went down to consult with the preeminent medical specialists on the planet, who are all bought into their cultural mythology that it's not what it is and that it is just something else. Lieutenant, you have a question? Comment?
What if they know more than they're letting on to?
That's obviously, I think, a good hypothesis.
And if we let him go back, we refuse asylum, ethics of keeping him here aside, wouldn't that be a severe ethical dilemma to potentially let him die by sending him back?
I would take the mea culpa of we misunderstood the biology. We would essentially accept their cultural facade as true and apologize. Of course, if it's too late to do that, then that changes the equation. But I am willing to put it to Mr. Relic that I can and I would be willing to present to the authorities on Zunian that we were wrong. There is no parasite. Mr. Relic is perfectly healthy and free to go.
That is likely the only scenario that he lives.
Thankfully, we are out of communication range, so that this is my decision and my decision alone. Mr. Tanari, you've been pretty quiet. Any thoughts?
I've been thinking the fact that half the delegation had the parasites. Do we have any ideas to whether or not that's unique to that particular group, or is that typical for the entire population?
So far, with two samplings of the population, and both, roughly half have been infected.
Our data pool is quite limited. Lieutenant Neela, I was going to have your team scan to try and get the bio readings from the population more broadly, but with this Federation expeditionary equipment thing now, this is a situation that needs to be resolved. And short of going, excuse me, Governor, why is the stolen equipment from our murdered colony on your planet? I think Captain Gregor would find that to be a bit hanky-panky.
I realize we're tight on security personnel, but you could have the security personnel go along with my engineering teams when they're working with the local engineering repair crews with the modified tricorders and have them scan them while we're working.
But again, we don't know what kind of statistically significant sampling. It could be, as they've been describing, it could be a regional physiological, so it means it's from a certain region of the planet. And as we know, from a xenoanthropology standpoint, sometimes certain populations or subpopulations are overrepresented or underrepresented in a particular career path just due to natural evolutionary and sociological trends that happen to be that. So unless we were going to pull out all of the scientific stops short of just scanning the planet for Epsilon creatures and then dividing by the number of people their census bureau says lives on the planet, I don't think any kind of hand scanning would yield us more useful information. And fundamentally, the fact that there's a portion of the population that has these dormant Epsilon creatures in them doesn't, I don't know how to take action on that information, whether it's 1% or 50% of the population. Mr. Najjar.
Sir, it occurs to me as I've been sitting here that they were very specific about it being a regional anatomical anomaly, as though there are specific areas of this planet where this anomaly is more common, which I know you already indicated. On the original planet on Tethys, there was a site complete with archaeological artifacts and a potential temple to these beings that came from the stars and then ostensibly moved on. What if the specific regions are important? Perhaps we should look into what areas of this planet this anomaly is most common and prevalent, and perhaps that's near the spot where they landed. Or, more importantly, perhaps there are regions of this planet where there are none. And if so, why are they not there?
I don't disagree with you. I am just struggling to figure out how to go, pardon me, Governor, the starship full of people from an organization you don't trust want to scour your world looking for hostile threats that are culturally taboo in your religious underpinnings.
I understand. And I know that this is a very stressful situation. Perhaps something as simple as Commander Ocean pointed out that the governor is willing to play ball. She's interested in talking. She's interested in collaboration. There are others that are not. Perhaps cultivating that relationship and then simply having a conversation with her saying, hey, we think this anomaly that your race has discovered is really, really interesting. Where did you say that the regions are that it's most prevalent? Or anything along those lines, sir? Tobor, you know how to do this.
Indeed. And in fact, our science team is looking through the cultural data that they can get access to. Perhaps, I know we haven't had a full chance, Lieutenant Neela, to get a full report out from your team, but if there is anything about a regionality of the physiological anomaly that is discovered in any of the literature that you and your team come across, please make a note of that.
Absolutely, I'll make that a focus.
Sir, I may have a way for us to both scan for the parasite and do the surface scan for the equipment.
Excellent. I'm all ears, Mr. Tenori.
We use the Eagle. It has high-resolution sensors as well, and we could tell the locals perhaps that we need it out there as support for the repairs.
I would like to try, and I agree with Mr. Najjar, I am going to talk to the governor because I would like to, if at all possible, not further compound their distrust of the Federation by continually lying to them.
I'm not sure it'd be a lie, because with the radiation out there, we could use... I would definitely like the Eagle out there as a transporter booster.
Of course. And as we both know, the best lies contain a lot of truth to them. It could be one of those things that does unravel. I will keep it in mind, though, because that is relevant to our repair efforts.
The best lies are also best kept simple, sir. The more you complicate them, the more they tend to spin out of hand and unravel.
Of course.
In terms of ships with good sensors, we also have the Kitty Hawk.
We do indeed. But let's just get an initial snapshot so I have something to take to the governors. And we can go from there, I think. And then if they give us some latitude and some leeway, we can do that before making the diplomatic incident even more incident-y.
Are your ambition, sir, to step up an intergalactic incident?
Appreciate that, Mr. Najjar. All right, I think we all have our assignments. Before we break, anyone else have any bright ideas, insights that would be useful?
Just to say that I have my engineering teams ready to go on repairs.
They should be already working, right? Repairs are, ongoing.
Sir, one other thing that did come to my mind from your department, sir, with your permission, given the difficulty that we're having in spreading the small security complement that we have on this ship, should we feel as though we're going to get any thinner, I'd like to take a couple of the younger ensigns on the ship and assign them to security officers to begin shadowing just as backup personnel. Every recruit has gone through basic Starfleet security training and should be capable of following the orders of one of my officers if we need interim security officers to supplement the force.
That is an excellent idea, Mr. Najjar. We are a crew of just 40. You already have one of the larger complements of staff, and your security staff are cross-trained as well. Everyone's cross-trained.
Indeed. Here, and my staff would cover the majority of the duties, but when we face situations like Lieutenant Tanari's teams entering the planet, perhaps one fully trained security officer and one or two interim security officers under their command and keeping the rest of the fully trained staff on board might help us keep the Christian a little bit more secure.
I'll take that under advisement. I think for right now, I don't perceive any particular threat to the internal security of the ship, but if that situation changes, let me know, Mr. Najjar.
Najjar raises his eyebrows almost like into his hairline when you say that.
Do you not agree, Mr. Najjar? They have to be empathic to read that one.
You yourself said, sir, that we have an Epsilon species dormant that could wake up at any time on board right now. In my opinion, as long as that's the case, our ship is far from secure and should be kept at least at yellow alert.
We are at yellow alert. I just turned this buzzer off. But yes, we have been at yellow alert. And like I said, but for the fact that it is dormant and the research of that they've been dormant for hundreds, if not thousands of years on this planet, tempers my fear that it's going to just wake up and try and take over the ship. But your deputy,
Alana Kem.
Alana Jorn, Lieutenant Alana, has been shadowing and keeping a close but surreptitious surveillance on our guest. I want him to not feel persecuted.
Sir, permission to speak freely? And he glances around the table at all of the people present, just to be sure you mean it.
By all means, if the security of the ship is at stake, speak your mind, Mr. Najjar.
That is almost verbatim what you said to me about Lieutenant Commander Najuk, sir. And he takes his seat.
Indeed, which is why after his shenanigans, he's now sitting in your security cell. So he got to prove himself to be uncooperative and is going to be dealt with accordingly.
Najjar, perhaps... No, he... Yeah, he can't help himself. He rubs the back of the head a little bit and says, sure, I'm glad I got an opportunity to prove that, sir. I already knew it.
Very good. Mr. Ocean, I think we can probably wrap the meeting up and
I'll begin working on those inquiries immediately.
Perfect.
All right, so after your meeting with senior staff, we have a couple of options here. So you guys tell me how you want to proceed. So there's certainly the repair work on the array, which, let's be totally honest, has become the less important plot point that you guys have uncovered over the last couple of months here. So there are other great fish. We can certainly hand wave through that if we want. Anirila, I know you've been doing some research, especially after the meeting here, so if there are some things that we want to investigate on that point. And then Tobor, there's your continued talk with Relic. I'm assuming at some point you want to fill him in on the information that you'd like. So,
well, firstly, Tobor wants to know the research that Narilla is working on.
Right. So let's go ahead and get in here. And again, just to be up front here. So I think, Tanari, basically what that means is that the engineering repairs on the array between your crew and the Tanari, unless there are specific things that you're looking to go ahead and investigate, it sounded to me last session like you were just basically recreating all the equipment and you were just going to do it with new equipment. You were not trusting a single thing that the Zunians gave you, which is exactly the right answer, by the way. So unless there's something specific that you wish to investigate on that, we can hand wave that and say, given time and space, the array can be back up and running.
So I do have the one thing, because of the very suspicious cascading stuff.
Sure.
The stuff the Zunians were offering, I want Tanari to go over them to see what, if any of it, was sabotaged by the third column inside the Zunian society, so we can take that to the governor as well.
We can have that conversation when we're done here then. So, Narilla, let's go to you. Repeat to me the task that you have been given in your understanding.
Okay. So I feel like I was given multiple things to find out and to research, and one of them is exploring a cultural database for the Zunonians, why it's lacking, and if we can expand what we know about them. And then what's the deal with the federal equipment that was found? And also seeing if we can direct sensors on the ruins, and also if there's any regionality to the parasite infestation.
Yeah, the individuals that have basically tested positive for the parasite infestation. Let's take your first question first. So the lack of cultural database, and I think I've gone through this, but just to go ahead and make sure everyone's up on the same page here about like how this interaction went. The array itself that you guys are there fixing was built about 100 years ago, give or take, when basically the Federation found Zunian 3. So the gist is that about 100 years ago, the Federation, it would have been a first contact, it was when they found Zunian 3, and basically under the banner of, oh, we can improve your life, offered to build this array with the express purpose of basically limiting the background radiation from the nebula and the star system, which had basically been baking this planet for right? That's like the nature of the planet and the system. It's a high radiation environment. The Zunians, the residents of the planet, had developed biological adaptations against the radiation because they've been living there for millennia at that point. And many of them were resistant to the Federation just because they had no idea who the Federation was. They didn't know why they were interfering with their lives. They had some concerns about what changing the environment of the planet would be like, all that sort of stuff. And so after the array was built, it was the way that it's written up in the first contact documentation is that the Zunians were offered a spot in the Federation per usual. The Zunians very politely declined and basically told the Federation, thank you, but no thank you. We'll continue living our life over here without you. And in fact, really, there had been fairly minimal communication between Zunian 3 and the Federation since then. Honestly, unless something goes wrong with the array. That's been like the protocol is like, something goes wrong with the array, Federation comes out, they fix the array, and then they let it go. And this one was unusual in that the problem with the array was worse than any of the other ones, and it seemed to have been provoked by an attack. But the Zunians really, they're a spacefaring race, but they seem to not have any tolerance for the politics or the general organization of Starfleet, and did not want to join the Federation of Planets. So that's basically what the cultural databases tell you about Zunian 3 at this point. And that kind of is why there's not a lot on the people of Zunian 3, because the Zunians basically didn't want it. They were like, no, we're not sure who you are. We're not sure why you're doing this. We don't know why you're changing the environment of our planet. Thanks, but no thanks. You can, There's probably, in terms of like the medical scans that you're doing now, 100 years ago, there probably wasn't any need to go ahead and do them because the Epsilon species was not a known threat at that point. So there probably wouldn't have been any reason. And I can also foresee that the Zunians would have been very resistant that if the Federation says, hey, we're going to go ahead and build this array to go ahead and knock down the radiation surrounding your planet. Can we get some medical scans while we're here? I can see the Zunians being like, no, really, don't. We don't need that. Please don't turn our cows inside out. It's like,
so very interesting, which is stuff that had been discussed previously and stuff we're seeing now.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that they're like isolationist, but they're also not like, they're not warm and fuzzy as in general.
Is there information about anybody that they are warm and fuzzy with? Is there like another species or culture that they, I don't know, trade with or call to them when they need assistance or vice versa?
Sure, yeah, great question. So not necessarily for assistance. They tend to be pretty self-serving. They do trade with other species. Again, they're not like isolationist and kind of like hang out on their own planet without anybody else. So they're like a known species, but just not, they don't do a lot of it. Because again, it's like a single planet, not that big, probably 10 to 15 million or so on the planet. So like they do some trade and they are, like I said, a spacefaring race. So it's not like they're totally unknown, but they just really haven't interacted very much with their local environment.
Okay. So there's probably not much to be revealed if we were to seek out other cultures' interpretations of the Zunians.
It's entirely possible that there may be something there. I honestly hadn't thought about it, so I'd say probably not a whole lot. And again, nothing if you're... I guess, what kind of information are you going for? I can try to come up with it, think it through. But what is it that you're looking for? You're looking for like cultural norms, cultural practices?
Yes, and also what kind of changes have happened over time? Have there been any drastic changes in behavior? Especially sudden ones. That's kind of what I'm thinking of.
Yep. Nothing that has been documented. Although I will say that as you've been digging through the documentation, one of the things that has been documented in terms of like their interactions with other species, and I promise, Joe, this isn't just like trying to go ahead and attack Tobor, but they really don't like the Trill, and it's because it violates their cultural norms. The Trill are like the antithesis of what the Zunians believe to be a properly formed being, right? Where the Trill are very much a kind of being within a being sort of thing. So that also might explain some of the frostiness that you guys were receiving. They may have picked up on the fact that Tobor's a Trill.
Okay.
I honestly hadn't thought about that until just now.
Awesome. You can spend 2 threat to make that a complication.
All right. I'll spend the threat. I got plenty.
Yeah. And so also, I think kind of, Josh, one of the things I was hoping is since we're here and can get access to their data net now, that's also the investigation that the team's doing, is like reading the newspaper and doing that kind of.
Yep. What you find, again, reading through several hundred years worth of newspaper, thankfully on the computer, you're putting some keywords in to go ahead and pull them out. And what you're finding is that the fears, or the at least the kind of the cultural expectation that Relic talked about, is probably on point. That whole sense of, nope, they really pretty firmly believe that when beings suffer any sort of infection or takeover or anything like that, that it is a weakness in the species. That is very much a like a barbaric cultural implementation that probably would have ran afoul of several Federation policies and laws anyway. So there would have been some smoothing that would have had to be done on that front. But that's very much an active threat. It's not, we think about the Salem Witch Trials 400 years ago or whatever like that. Like, that's kind of like, oh, distant past. We were a different people then. And for the Zunians, that's very much a real thing that they deal with on a day-to-day basis. That like, it is, as time has gone on, it's less there are bands of thugs roving the street, pulling people out of their houses for suspicion of it. It's much more, no, I have become a weakness to the species. In order for the species to provide, I will voluntarily remove myself, kind of thing. Those stories are sadly common as you're reading through the media and listening to newspapers and stuff like that. Maybe not a daily occurrence, but there are certainly a special section of obituaries for people who are dying for the betterment of the Zunian people, so to speak.
So when I read through these like obituary stories or even like retellings of it, is it like mostly physical ailments, something that would be obvious if you saw somebody, or is it also ailments that are unexplained and maybe not visually seen?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because of the nature of the planet, there's very little sort of infective agents on the planet. There are like precious few known bacteria, viruses. There are no fungi of any sort or anything like that, just because of the high radiation environment. And it's an adaptation that the Zunians have grown into. You're getting the sense that a lot of the stories of people, particularly the people that like voluntarily remove themselves from the gene pool in this way, are either like peer pressure type events where it's I'm a financial drain on my family kind of thing. As you kind of like dig in deeper, oh, this family's having financial difficulties. Maybe the oldest member not being in that family anymore helps the family go along or something like that. Like you're beginning to wonder how much sociological impact there is in these sorts of decisions, because the ailments are not specific. The ailments are not sort of like, oh, that Zunian over there lost his limb and clearly it's infected. Like it's not a lot of that. It's a lot of kind of self-driven, I'm having issues sort of thing. So. And before I go any further, I just want to go ahead and make sure everyone's comfortable with this line of conversation.
Suicide and self-harm are a veil for me, but not a line. If we don't feature it center stage, I should be all right.
Please, obviously, if I go too far, let me know.
You got it.
Appreciate it. Yeah, so that sort of seems to be, they really believe that they're doing it for the betterment of the species, but there's definitely some sort of a sociological element to it you're picking up on.
Okay. That's interesting. I think that's all the questions I have for this
part. So let's go to the bit about the equipment and everything like that. So you basically wanted to go ahead and point the scanners at the area to go ahead and pick up information on the ruins and the equipment itself that was found?
Yes.
Cool. All right. I am going to make you roll for this to go ahead and see. The computer can certainly go ahead and help you process this. I would say, Joe, this would be an appropriate situation where the ship computer could go ahead and assist with this. This will be a 2-difficulty challenge to go ahead and interpret this. Basically, your challenge, Nerila, is going to be, can I input into the sensor array the stuff that I'm looking for to go ahead and get the results that I want, is the way to think about it.
You said it's a 2 success?
It is, yep.
And
we do have the assistance from the ship.
Okay. And science reason, you said? Sorry.
Let's see. I would say in this case, probably not science, because you're actually using the sensors themselves. So I'd give you a reason, but engineering maybe? You know, because you're basically having to program the sensors to look for a specific thing.
Okay.
And the computer can help you. it's smart enough.
So can I buy using a threat in bold science?
Absolutely.
Except this is an engineering test.
Engineering, not science. Oh, yeah. You can still buy with the threat if you'd like.
You wouldn't get the reroll, so.
Right.
Get there, Josh.
I think I might still buy with a threat. And then the science officer says that if I succeed assisting with the ship's computers, it doesn't specify it needs to be in a science roll. Is that?
So it says if you succeed on a challenge where the ship assists?
Yep, ship. Computers or sensors, or using a tricorder, the character generates a bonus momentum.
There you go.
For use for the more information.
Oh, and used on more information. Okay.
Which is fine. That would be very handy. So as long as the Talos succeeds, I can see that more information spend would be helpful. So
I'm going to roll. Okay. So I got 2 successes.
Perfect.
And 1 failure, but none of them are really. I get a 6, 11, and a 15, and 15 just really missed.
Yep.
And the ship got a 12, so it succeeds.
All right, so you'll get the momentum for the success, and you'll be able to go ahead and spend a bonus momentum for additional information. All right, here's what we've got. There are a couple of things that the sensors come back with as you scan the area. The first thing is that the ruins themselves certainly show stylistic and compositional connection to the archaeological things that were pulled up from Tethys a few months ago. As in, like, the patternology in the art is the same, and the composition of some of the artifacts is the same also. They're made of the same stuff. Like, it's the same things. The same artifacts are now found on two different planets, right? Basically, the connection that you can go ahead and draw there. On the other side, the equipment that you found that looked like it was the equipment that was removed from Tethys, when you scan its chemical signatures, its metallurgy and everything like that, and like source it, like where did it come from and everything like that, it is some of the equipment that was on Tethys. And specifically what you're seeing is like archaeological tools and things like that. Things that were like investigating the ruins at Tethys are now clearly investigating the ruins here.
Like the exact same tools?
It is the same tools, yeah. As in the dust that's on the rangefinder, you can find the chemical signature of dust from Tethys kind of thing. Like those tools were certainly on Tethys.
Okay. That's really interesting. And it all seems like you say that the ruins are stylistic, they're connected to Tethys. They seem like they're at the same general time that the Tethys artifacts were.
So if you run like carbon dating on it and everything like that, this is going to require your additional momentum spend for more information, because the carbon dating is a very finicky process. So if you really want to go ahead and narrow in on that to go ahead and secure, basically, again, trying to solve which is the chicken and which is the egg kind of thing, you can do that. But that's going to require your additional that you got for having the computer succeed on the sensor chains.
I think it's valuable. I think we should do it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so what you find is that these ruins and these artifacts are older than the ones on Tethys.
Dun, dun, dun.
Much or just like a small amount? Like,
on a scale of 10,000 years, what would you determine to be a small amount?
Is it within years or is it within like centuries, decades?
Probably within a century.
Okay. Anything else to note for the ruins?
Any other specific questions that you have?
So can we spend another momentum for obtaining more information?
Sure.
Do you have a scanning the ruin area, do we pick up life signs? And if so, who and what species are they?
Sure. You do find life signs. There are two active life signs in the ruins right now. They both register as Zunian, but you also find kind of like lingering life signs that suggest that there may have been up to three or four other people in the area. All life signs register as Zunian. Stunned him into silence.
Can we take, like with Tethys, we had a scan so we were able to save some imagery. Can we do that from where we are at, or will we need to get closer?
You mean like when you were able to go ahead and take the artifacts and recreate the in the holodeck, yeah, like what the actual scenes were? You would need the artifacts up on the ship.
Maybe not even that advanced, but just generally.
Yeah, what you've got is what you can do from a distance. You would have to bring stuff up on board to go ahead and do that same kind of analysis. It just requires so much computing power, and it requires a lot more detail than you're able to get on a sensor in orbit.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have on the ruins.
Okay. And then there was a third question that you had.
I think we looped them together, the federal equipment and the...
Yes.
Oh, no, I do have the third question. Sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
Is there any region, if I can look at the people that we have found already?
The regionality, yes.
Yeah.
So for this, I need some information from people that were on the planet. And so Najjar, I think you may need to go ahead and give me a hand here. I know that when you read them, you were able to go ahead and pick out like, yep, you, and you. And one of the yous was the security chief. But otherwise, what I'm trying to figure out is, how are you going to go about identifying that information? It's not like it's impossible, but I just need a little bit more of, like, how do you...
If Najjar can match them to names, as introductions would have been made at the meeting, and we know the two people that were up here, and she does have access to the planet's net, she ought to be able to search them in their local networks to see where they're from.
I like that. Yeah, so this would be like a low-level computing challenge, kind of like a one difficulty security reason, and probably actually get help from the ship's computer to help parse through that information also.
Okay.
So like a one difficulty challenge with an assist from the computer.
All right.
As Najjar's brain was involved, because you asked for my assistance, may I assist?
Absolutely, yeah, I think that's perfectly valid, yep.
And the other thing I want to know, while we're doing the search, besides just where they're located, I think it'd be useful to know the general kind of professions, if we can get that kind of information as well. If there is, like, all these people are miners or something.
Yeah, like,
or suspiciously all high-ranking government officials.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, it's limited to this one small town in southern Zunia, and look at that. They're all members of the government. They're all members of the majority party and working for the governor. Hey, look at that. I'm like, yeah.
Najara is still suffering from a mild concussion and was no help with a 19.
Fabulous.
Oh, but I actually rolled much better. So I rolled on two dice, a 2, and you said this was security and insight? Yeah. I made both of them. The other one I rolled 11, which should make it.
Okay. So a total of 3 successes then is?
2 successes and, or computer 1, 3.
Do you have a focus that would apply, therefore your 2 would have been a critical?
You're basically doing a database search through their population databases, you know.
So I have biology, forensic science, and epsilon species detection, and I think that is more about equipment, that last one.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, so it won't be a critical. So you have 2 successes. That's fine. Still enough. It was only a 1. You're basically searching through a database. That's a 1.
And the ship hasn't rolled yet either.
Ship has not rolled yet, so 4, which is a success, but not a critical. Right?
Let's see. Unless it is a security task. That was computer security?
I'm not really thinking security. Like, again, like it's not like...
Like computer's command? Like it's interfacing with the planetary net?
Let's see. Yeah, I like computer command. Like search for another culture or research legal matters. That sounds like computer command. Yep.
So yeah, the 4 is just a single success.
Okay, that's fine. So 2 successes over what you needed. Yeah, so based on the individuals that Najar was able to give you, and when you looked up like where they're from, and you also take Ralik, so that's 4 people that and the pilot. So those are 5 people that have scanned positive for a dormant Epsilon species. You're not really seeing any sort of like regional connection or governmental connection between the 5 of them, unless the region that they're is like loosely defined as like the planet. They come from different parts. They come from different families. They come from different socioeconomic levels. So you suspect that this whole like regional physiological differences is probably a sociological cover. It's how they've justified.
Still not necessarily a bad thread to be pulling on, though, because sure. If only part of the population is infected, the question becomes when and where do they become infected, unless it's mm-hmm. merged with the species enough that they're born that way. They have to have some kind of commonality to get the parasite in them in the first place, whether it's religious, social. Religious isn't a bad necessarily way to look, but
yeah.
That was exactly where I was going with the profession stuff. If they walked through these ruins or if they had stumbled across a certain place, like I was thinking maybe but if they're all from different regions, that kind of let's do some sort of like pilgrimage or something.
Yep. Now, basically the geography of Zunia is broken up into like various nation states, but there's a central planetary government. The nation states feed into a congressional body that helps run the planet. The individuals that you're talking to, like some of them maybe are from where the capital is, but their origins are from different nation states. So
were the ruins tied into their mythology? Is this somewhere that people make a pilgrimage, like the guy that showed Ocean the photograph of his family standing in front of it?
They're a popular vacation spot. As you're reading through like the newspapers and stuff like that, like they're featured in like tourist guides and stuff like that. So they're pretty.
Maybe underneath those ruins, there's a giant room full of those little egg things. You go and open up, and out they come.
Yeah, gigantic subspace signal generator that, you know, yeah.
That we haven't noticed at all.
Exactly, yeah. It's not on. They didn't plug it in. So.
Oh, well, that explains it.
That's the first thing their IT person is going to tell them to do when they realize
exactly,
they
have problems. Yeah, until the array is back
on. Turned it on and turned it off again.
Right, exactly, yeah. It's too hot without the array. It needs to cool down the planet some. Planetary server room. Did that answer your question sufficiently, or do you want to go ahead and spend some of your momentum to go ahead and probe into that a little bit further? Basically, what I could give you is I could give you like the specific nation states that they're from, but basically the information is that there does not seem to be a regional connection between the people that you have currently found. It seems to be a sociological cover.
Okay. I think that's okay then.
they have social media, you could go through the five people social media to see if you can find other people with pictures in front of the ruins.
Zunian Facebook.
I think they call that Zunian Zoom chat.
I would definitely explore like avenues as deep as I can on these five individuals, because as far as the time it would take to look deeply into five individuals is not that much compared to doing it on 10,000 individuals. So
that makes good sense to me.
We've given you all the information that you were looking for, Narila. Is there anything else on the questions that you were investigating that you'd like to know?
The only thing I will say is that I would probably delve pretty deep into these five people, because I feel like the time exchange is not so bad, and compare anything I can find to see if I find any links.
So then what I will do is I'll spend the momentum for the extra information, and then we will get that to you, because I don't have that off the top of my head, and we can draw up like full like demographic profiles of them so that you have access to them and everything like that. But I'll spend the momentum now, and then this recording will serve as a reminder to go ahead and do it. Anyway. All right, fabulous. So, Tanari, let's go to you then to kind of like see what we need to do to go ahead and wrap up the last of our little threads here. So we talked earlier about how basically we're going to give an infinite time and infinite people on keyboards. The engineering problem with the array will solve itself. But I suspect that there are questions or things that you want to investigate. And I know Tobor specifically, you said that you wanted to go ahead and talk with him about some of the stuff that you talked about with Captain Grigoff.
Exactly.
Some of the hanky-panky, yeah.
Yeah, mostly all the suggested surplus parts that were being offered by the Zunians. Double-check any of them for signs of intentional sabotage so that we can hopefully have evidence to take to the governor that this was not random and that there's something deeper going on here.
So what are your thoughts on that, Tanari?
Then I guess while we're replicating copies of them, we'll also scan the originals.
Sure.
See if we can come up with any signs of sabotage or flaws in the originals that they gave us.
I'm down with that. So you want to make a two difficulty insight engineering roll for me? And just because it was so much fun last time, and I've got a bunch of threat to go ahead and spend, I'm going to increase your complication range. I'm going to spend 3 threat, and I'm going to make it, 17 to 20. So
insight engineering. Okay, what's my difficulty?
Dos.
All right. So I will go ahead and spend a threat to get an extra dice.
I like it. And that's a complication range 17 to 20. This is it's really old technology, so there's a lot that could potentially be missed here. So
this is me. 17 to 20 doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you'll probably roll 4 20s.
Let's see. I don't think I have a focus that comes into play.
Okay.
Not unless this has something to do with warp field dynamics or transporters or replicators.
No, it's more like energy conduits. You need like EPS or something like that. Yeah.
All right. I have a 2, a 12, and a 16.
Oof.
A 16. Me, a 9, a 12, and a 9, a 12, and a 16.
Okay.
So two successes.
Okay, and that's fine. There's a 2 success challenge, so you don't get any momentum, but you also don't give me any complications. Good for you. There you go. So as you're investigating the conduits and everything like that you've been given, again, a lot of it was kind of like tab A and slot B just don't fit together. Uh-huh. There was also that EPS cable basically that they gave you to go ahead and help power transfer that at first glance looked like it was made really poorly, but the more that you dug into it, it was like no, there may have actually been actually I'm trying to remember how much information I gave you last time on that. Do you remember what I'm talking about or
No, I don't.
Yeah, I'm going to assume then that I gave you the full story because I thought that I did. But basically, they gave you a long extension cord to go ahead and plug into the array, because one of the things that they needed were their batteries were dead at this point. So they needed to go ahead and get charged, and they were looking to go ahead and leverage the Delamis Christian's EPS systems. The cable that they gave you at first glance was built really poorly, as in normally there's a tightness to the bundle of EPS cables, right? They don't have an awful lot of space in them, stuff like that. This cable looked like it was built really poorly in that the cabling itself was very loosely put together. And as you started investigating it, one of the things that kind of raised your antenna a little bit was that it looked like it was so loose, in fact, that if this was used to connect one ship to, say, a power array, that you could, if you were properly protected from the energy being transferred through, you could physically crawl through the cable, which was interesting that it would be made that poorly. It was kind of like as an example of like how badly it was built. So there's that. There's definitely a, this is weird. Like maybe it was just built really badly, but it's built really, really badly and could be used. If now that you're like putting your conspiracy theory hat on, you can see how it's okay. If I were going to go ahead and use this cable for something else than what I intended, this is definitely an option, right? The other thing in terms of looking for kind of sabotage-y type conspiracy theory type things like this has less to do with the tools that they gave you and more to do with kind of the event itself. As you've been like looking through like what happened to the array, what the attack was like, and reading the information provided by the Zunians when it was attacked and everything like that, the story that they're selling is that it was one ship that attacked something very, very specific, and that one very, very specific failure then caused a whole series of cascading failures throughout the array. Doing the math on the back of the envelope about the odds of hitting that one thing in such a way to go ahead and cause all these cascading failures, that math never really added up to you anyway, and you thought that, again, if you're thinking about it from like a suspicious sort of conspiracy theory, Tanari sort of angle, it would be way easier to have the ship attack, but then have, again, somebody on the inside that's like flipping the switches, blowing other things up to make it look like it's all related to the attack, but is actually not. So does that answer your questions and give you the information that you're looking for?
So basically what you're saying is I've got any proof I have that this was sabotage and not an attack is basically a bunch of calculations as opposed to physical evidence.
Yeah, you have an alien species that is known to go ahead and have some sort of connection to the Epsilon species, and a bunch of hunches on if this were sabotage and if they were looking to do things, this is how I would do it. And you're finding that it's not absolutely wackadoodle that that's an option.
But nothing hard.
There's no, like, smoking tricorder that says that this was absolutely sabotaged. It's almost like it doesn't make sense that it's not sabotaged, especially when you start looking at the failure in the array. It's honestly, it's analogous to the Zunians saying, no, these are just regional physiological differences. There is no species living within our people. It's analogous to that, where it's this really, sure, a cascading failure as an official story is solid, and for people that aren't investigating it would probably buy it without any question at all. But as soon as you start to poke around the edges, you realize that that's probably pretty unlikely. Or the person that attacked the array was very, very lucky.
So a second shooter on the grassy knoll kind of thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, is just up Tanari's alley.
Exactly.
All right. I will put my findings in a report and email it to the commander.
Okay. Any other questions or anything else that you want to investigate around the reassembly of the array and the turning of the array back on? Like, everything seems to be going to plan. The crew that you're communicating with on the Temerary says the Zunian engineering crews have been very, very helpful in getting things set up and blah, 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 all that. So seems to be a nice engineering go team go effort happening.
Make sure everyone goes through a pretty good quality control before we turn it back on. But beyond that, I can't think of much else to do.
Don't want to push any null pointer exceptions to production.
Especially on a Friday.
Especially on a Friday, exactly, yeah. Yeah. Why don't you do this then for me? I want you to basically roll for the entirety of the engineering team that has been underneath you for this entire process. So give me like a 3 difficulty. I will not increase your complication range. I'll be nice this time around. Give me like a 3 difficulty engineering challenge. And this is going to be like a gated challenge, right? So I'm saying 3. 3 will be an absolute success. But really what I want to know is how many successes you've got, because that would determine kind of the level of success in here.
Okay. And what's my target number then?
So engineering and whatever. Engineering insight, engineering control, actually, since you're kind of like operating extremely complex equipment. Yeah.
All right, so you said 3 difficulty. So let me spend 1 momentum, 2 threat to get 2 extra dice.
2 threat. I like it.
All right, 3 successes.
Perfect.
13, 13, 3, 15.
Whew, okay, there you go. Yeah, actually, you don't have any focus that the 3 would apply to?
No, again, unless... Okay.
Your bold lets you reroll one of them, doesn't it, for buying with threat, so you could reroll the failure? See if you get another
success. Yeah, but... You know how I roll. I'll probably get
it. Fair, fair. Very fair.
He didn't get a complication. Let's stick him at the 15. Yeah. So, yep. Okay, cool. So yeah, basically you put into place the quality assurance checks, find a couple of I's and a couple of T's that needed to be dotted and crossed, made those changes to the software, everything comes up and running, batteries report that they're fully charged, and basically you close your eyes and flip the switch, and the array begins humming with this mechanical hum to it. It illuminates, and you can see this kind of twinkle and glisten that's currently in the atmosphere around Zunian 3 dissipate a little bit, and the planet now picks up a lot of the reds of the sand and everything, so it's kind of changed the color palette of the planet. The array seems to be functioning, all reporting and everything seems to be working properly on the array. Did you install any sort of like monitoring or any sort of updates or anything other than like software patches for the software that was running it, I assume?
Oh, yeah.
What sort of changes did you make to the array in this process?
Probably some software patches to help it run more efficiently, mm-hmm. and monitoring so that they can keep track of the system and more quickly make repairs when they need to.
The Zunian engineering teams are ecstatic that you would give them such things. Like they've been trying to go ahead and figure out this Federation technology for a while, and what you've given them is really important information to go ahead and help support themselves. They're deeply appreciative.
You said they have seven fingers?
Sure. Yeah, they have seven fingers on each hand. Sure.
All right, go around and give them high six.
High sixes. That's perfect.
We have five. They have seven.
Yeah, average it out. Mm-hmm. I love it. Perfect. Okay, the array is back up and running. Tobor, let's close out tonight with the conversation with Ralik and his...
I have Ralik and the governor, so depending on how the Ralik conversation goes.
So basically you're relaying to Ralik that you feel it's within your authority to accept his asylum request, and you're going to?
So I come down to the quarters.
Enter.
I come in. Mr. Ralik, how are you doing, sir?
Captain, I'm doing very well, and yourself?
Excellent, excellent. I've got some news, and I want to share with you and give you all the data that I have so you can make a fully informed decision.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Your yeoman has been very helpful, by the way.
Excellent. They are most efficient. So my chief medical officer, Dr. New, who you talked to earlier today, met with a bunch of your leading scientists from the government and everything, and walked through and was thoroughly briefed on the quote-unquote regional physiological differences that exist in the various physiology of the Zunian species, and how it could very easily have been our technology and mistakenly misdiagnosing your very normal biology as a condition to be concerned about. So with that being said, I am happy from my perspective to talk to the governor and make a full mea culpa about the misinformation and the misdiagnosis that we had, such that I feel you would probably not suffer any negative cultural or sociological repercussions if you wanted to return to Zunia. I'm fully willing to go on record saying that we were wrong and that our scans were incorrect.
This is a very interesting development, Captain. My detainment here was an accident?
A misunderstanding that we have now, since consulting with the medical experts on your world, has been resolved. And you would be free to return home of your own volition.
I see. And you think whatever it is your scans revealed is just chalked up to these regional physiological differences?
We would be agreeing with the medical consensus of your world. And Josh, I'm very laying it to him. We know what the truth is, but we're willing to go along with their cultural fiction so he can go home.
He kind of looks out the window a little bit as he gets very pensive look on his face. I I guess that's that then, isn't it? I should go home.
If you wish. This is, again, ultimately your right and your choice. Or, if you so choose, we can continue with the asylum process, and I can... The one concern I have, and I will give this to you, is I believe the regional physiological difference is dormant and not active because of the radiation that your planet produces and your species adapted to. Something none of my team, neither my chief science officer nor chief medical officer, can say with any certainty that if you were to leave Zunia and leave the radiated effects of the nebula, if the physiological difference wouldn't wake up and take over your consciousness as it was mythologicalized in the distant past.
I mean, it sounds there like you're saying it would be safer for me to return to Zunia and the...
Your people have survived with this regional physiological difference for thousands of years. I don't foresee any reason why you couldn't continue on for the foreseeable future while we do more subtle research in... Hopefully in collaboration with your government in a way that is culturally sensitive to you and your people. I think we would probably want to study the radiation's medicinal effects and see how we can adapt it to better prevent other species from getting sick and infected.
I think then in this case, since...
And then thirdly, for full disclosure, I cannot vouch for my superiors as to what they would wish to do with the regional physiological difference. There's a great desire to study and learn how to deal with such regional physiological differences such that they don't threaten the rest of the Federation. And I would not wish for you to flee your home only to be coerced into helping and turning into a medical study
specimen. In a way that may not be fortuitous to me.
Yes.
I understand what you're saying, Tobor. I think that given all of this, I think it only makes sense that I return to the surface. But I would ask that you remember me if information comes that would make that decision be reconsidered.
Of course. Currently, I'm in quite a unique position being here. I am unable to communicate with my superiors. Once we leave Zunia and I report back, other options could open up, at which case I could send that information in a surreptitious manner to you if additional offers became available with guarantees coming with them.
I appreciate that. Would I at least be able to catch a ride back to the surface?
Absolutely. In fact, I am headed down to speak with the governor. How aware are you of the ruins northwest of the capital?
Very. They're a very popular destination for families having picnics and hikers.
Does a lot of scientific research and archaeology go on, or have they mostly been studied and...
Yeah, my understanding is that they're largely studied and, you know, I mean, wouldn't be horribly surprising, but pretty unusual, I would think. They've been studied pretty well.
Okay.
We're pretty familiar with our past.
That generally tends to be the case with cultures. Excellent, yes. So with that saying, I am going to hold on transmitting the asylum request at your insistence. And again, I am about to go down and talk with the governor and the chief of security and do my best to convince them it's all been one big misunderstanding and apologize profusely.
All right. I like it. And so I basically assume that you would relay basically the same information that you just told to Ralik, to the governor, and to Tovar?
Yep.
Cool. I am going to make your roll for it. Let's see. I'm going to spend that 3 threat to go ahead and increase your complication range. And then, let's see, I would make this probably... They are skeptical, especially where you are Trill, that you are going to be an honest dealing with them anyways. That's why the complication range is high. I'd say that this is going to be a 3 difficulty diplomatic smoothing over challenge. So probably, like...
Presence Command.
Presence Command, yeah. I think Presence Command.
Very good. I'm going to spend a determination.
I like it.
Because... Starfleet is more than the uniform.
Ooh, I like it.
So the first one will be the Delta, and then how much momentum do we have left?
We have 1 momentum.
And I will buy a second die with a momentum and a threat.
Yep.
Actually, you know what? Since I have to buy 1 with threat, I'm going to use my voice of authority and add 2 threat to... Oh, no, never mind. This is only one I'm assisting. I did the reading, but I'm not good. Okay, so yeah, no, I'll buy the total 4 roll die. Yeah.
4 die, and your complication range is 17 to 20.
So. Perfect.
And 3 difficulty.
All right. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 successes.
Whew. Those are all critical?
No, no, but I had the determination spent.
Oh, yeah.
2 crits, 2 regular.
All right, cool. So you gain 3 momentum back. That's an overwhelming success. Tovar, who was never really going to buy what you were saying anyways, Huffy, but ultimately does not feel like he has a leg to stand on. The governor is...
Also, and just in this thing, I'm throwing in the... By the way, our, like, stolen equipment from our murdered, like, scientific expedition is, like, on your planet in the ruins. I'm going to overlook this because I'm a really nice guy and we're not going to make a big deal about it, but we do want to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
Work together to figure that out.
Yeah.
Because I know this is not an official Zunian policy to murder colonists on a Federation planet and then steal their stuff and use it to do all kinds of archaeological. So it must be some nefarious third party that we would love to work together to.
Yeah. Tovar obviously is beside himself, incandescent with rage at that sort of implication that you would imply that the Zunians are guilty.
I'll pull out the pad and like flick the data to him. Here's the serial numbers.
Yep.
So that's Carl. High resolution sensors.
Yeah, totally fine. As I was saying, Tovar was never going to go ahead and believe you that this was a mistake. He has been deeply wounded by this entire diplomatic incident. However, you've been so convincing that I can't do anything about it. I just don't trust you, period. That's just the way that it is. The governor you find is far more persuaded by your argument and appreciates the fact that you have come down to the surface to meet with her personally and understands that when two species don't interact very often, certainly these sorts of incidents can occur, and she appreciates your willingness to go ahead and basically fall on the sword and be like, hey, here's what we do, here's what happens.
We have the medical information, we can know better, we'll do better.
Yep, exactly, yep. And that's all we can ask for you to be better going forward and respect our cultural norms, et cetera, et cetera. And she is appalled that you would suspect that there was any kind of hanky-panky going on with the Zunians and your colony. She's apologetic that she's not sure what that's doing there, but certainly she would be happy to entertain a security team or whatever would be necessary to retrieve your equipment. They don't want your equipment on their planet as much as you want it there, so that's all totally fine.
Again, in the spirit of friendship and cooperation and trust building, I will insist that there's no Starfleet involved in what obviously is an internal security matter, that these criminals who do not represent Zunia or Zunia society, I will let them arrest them and do all the investigation. And please just keep us informed of the investigation results.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Perfect. Sounds like then we are on the same page, and she appreciates you bringing her citizen back and bids you adieu, and you are free to leave our planet. We appreciate the work fixing our array, and their GTFO. That's actually our game for tonight, guys.